Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Those who are here in the sanctuary, those who are online on YouTube, on Facebook, good morning. This is the day, what? That the Lord has made. Amen. And we're going to what? Be glad and what? Rejoice in it. Amen. Amen. It's God has kept us, right? Through another week, through another day, through another year, through another month, right? Because as we look back on our lives, some people aren't here. As we look back on our lives, we see how he has what? Protected us and kept us. Why? Because he loves us. Amen? Amen. So welcome to Taylor Tabernacle, everybody. Amen? Amen. Today we're going to hear a good word, right? We're going to enjoy each other's company, getting in what? The presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. So before we get to the prayer and everything, I'm going to do the scripture first today, and then we're going to do the prayer. Because the scripture is what? Relevant to our lives. Say what? All times. Amen? Is the word of God always relevant? Is the word of God always applicable? Amen? Amen. So as people join in, come in, what? We want to just with who's here right now, create the atmosphere. Because he said what? Where two or three are gathered in his name, he'd be in the midst. Don't you want him in the midst this morning? Amen. If we can all stand for the reading of God's word, I'm going to be reading out of Matthew verses 33 and 34. Amen. Amen. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen? Amen. What does it say? What? Tomorrow is going to take care of itself. God said, I'm here right now. So let's get in his presence. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. Lord, right now, all the bindings and shackles that have been on us, let them fall by the wayside right now. That we wouldn't worry about tomorrow. That we wouldn't worry about that health situation, that job situation. But glory, glory, hallelujah, just get in your presence. Lord, that we would have a zeal for Zion, as the preacher said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for blessing us with our families. Thank you for always making your word available to us. Thank you for helping our unbelief, Lord Jesus, that you continually prove yourself to us, that as we get tested and we pray and we call on you, you send other Christians to encourage us, to remind us to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this day and this service. Anoint our pastor this morning that he would deliver the word that you have prepared for us, that we would leave here transformed and renewed in our minds, that you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be with us throughout this day. Lord, place a word in our hearts. Write it on the fleshy tables of our hearts, that we would witness to your glory and your honor. Put someone in our path this week who you need us to witness to, and give us a word to give unto them, that you would be glorified. We thank you, Christ Jesus. We thank you for making a way for us to make it here this morning. Sit down right next to us in these pews, O Lord. Be in the midst with us this morning, O Lord, that you would get the glory and honor out of this service, that this would be about you, and that we would learn from you and hear from you and be comforted by you and be healed by you and feel safe sitting next to you, Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to call up our sister Alex. Amen. She's going to help us prepare the atmosphere. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Taylor. Praise the Lord, Taylor. God is good. I can't hear y'all. God is good. God is good. All the time. All the time. Amen.
You move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power. You perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made. And we're standing here only because you made. You made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Say you move mountains, you cause walls to fall. With your power, you perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made. Yes, we're standing here only because you made. You made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made. Yes, we're standing here only because you made a way.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when you get the microphone issues and you get the volume issues, we make a way in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Let's praise God. Let's get up. Let's change the atmosphere. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. You made a way, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 When we have an opportunity to come into His house and hear His preached word, it's His word that what? Made a way. Not all this other stuff. Sometimes it works. Sometimes things try to get in the way. And they're trying to get in the way of your praise. Right? They're trying to get away in the way of you thinking about His goodness. What does the scripture say about what? When you walk through the doors. Right? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, O Lord. He's made a way. He's made a way for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us hear your uninterrupted word. No more distractions. No technical difficulties. Just the anointed man of God delivering your word unto us. Because that is what we need. Amen? 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 If we could rise, I'm going to have our pastor come out. Amen? Because what? The Lord made a way for him. Amen?
Well, good morning and God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let me take advantage while you're standing, and let's go right to the Word of God, okay? So if you have your Bible, this morning we're going to be in the Gospel of Saint John. See, do you guys need, you need a Bible? Okay, good. Okay, good. What's up? I'm glad she came then. I might use her Bible. And, Deaconess Helena, if we can get my friend a Bible, anyone else not have a Bible? And again, if you've heard me say this, just about every Sunday, I always like for people to see what I'm saying is in the Word of God. Because absent that, I'm just saying what I want to say. You know what I mean? But when I think it's a powerful image that when a man or God comes into a pulpit and has their Bible with them and they actually read out of the Bible. Therefore, you have that connect. It's just a visual connection that what I'm hearing is coming out of this book, which I also have a copy in my hand and I can verify. That's what everybody's doing now. Everyone's fact checking these days. Verify. Hey, that's right out of the Word of God. That wasn't him saying that. That was out of the Word of God. So again, this morning, the Gospel of John, the second chapter. In the New Testament, that's going to be our primary text, familiar text, the wedding in Canaan, Jesus' first miracle. Now, after you get that, I want you to put your finger in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 6. Okay? So our primary text, John 2, the witness, Revelations 19 and 6. Okay? So glad to see my good friend and my dean, C. Anthony Owens. Thank God for him. Always a pleasure. Thank God for the great work he does inside our fraternity and for so many of our Kappa brothers. Thank God for him and his guests being here today. You guys have that, John 2, Revelations 19? So I'm going to read it, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version, okay? So it says, and I'm just going to read the first 10 verses here that provides this story, this miracle at Cana. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Verse 3 says, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Then Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Big jugs, right? And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine or the best wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. Meaning you put the good stuff out first. Once they drink out that, just backfill it with whatever you got, right? And he says, but you have kept the good wine until now, right? He was unaware of the miracle. He said the normal cup, you put the good stuff out first, let your guests drink all the good, and then when it's done, you just backfill it with whatever because the party's almost over. He said, you've done the opposite. You put out the inferior wine, and now what these guys just brought me to drink, he said, this is the best of the whole night, and you've saved it till the last hour, right? Unaware that what? Jesus had changed the water into wine. And to prove that it was a real miracle, it just wasn't wine. It was good wine. he made the best stuff, right? So that's that. That's that Jesus' first miracle, the wedding in Cana. Now let's just add to the witness, Revelations 19 and 6. And I apologize this morning. I didn't get my slides and stuff over to the AV team, so you don't have the visual aids. Gotta follow along. So Revelations 19 and 6. Okay. And there it says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. verse 9, and this is where I'm going to stop. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen. Raise your hand if you're familiar with the story of the wedding at Canaan. If you've heard that before, John 2, the miracle, the water and wine. You guys heard that? Good, good. For some of you, it's new ground, but good. Because what I'm going to do this morning, I'm not going to preach that text as it stands. I'm going to use that text and the fact that you're familiar with it. I want to use it as the background, right? The background for the message today. Okay. So this is my subject. The subject this morning is drink, but don't get drunk. Can we work that out? Right? Backdrop, the miracle at Canaan, right? It's a wedding, right? What do folks do at weddings? They what? They drink, right? Right? But the caution here, this is where we're bringing the word of God, but don't get drunk, okay? And so I just want to use that as a backdrop for our message today, and if you give me 10 or 15 minutes, we'll work it out. Is that fair? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for this day and how you have given us life and strength and breath and have awakened us to the dawn, the rising sun. And we can feel the breeze of the wind on our face and on our bodies and know that you have given us another day. So Lord, help us to honor this day by giving you the glory, by saying and doing those things which glorify your name. We thank you for this time that we have here. We thank you for these people of God that have gathered, not to see or to hear me, but they've come even as the people of old, when they would say to the prophets, is there any word from the Lord? So Lord, answer our cry. Answer our need and our thirst for true and living water. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Cause our souls to be revived again so that we might live for you. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated all over the church. It has been an interesting week and even a challenging week. Because in this week, yesterday, my wife and I, we had to attend a funeral. For those who may or may not have known, my father's brother passed away. So we had to attend my uncle's funeral. It was Saturday morning. And later on today, this afternoon, I have to perform a wedding, right? And so you can see within a weekend, I'm at two extremes. Yesterday morning, a very sad occasion, right? That's, you're dealing with that and family and loss. And but then this afternoon, a wedding. A joyous occasion, right? How many know everybody loves a good wedding? Most folk love a bad wedding. Why? Because it's fun, you know? I mean, good time. And so I kind of find myself at those extremes. But when I was thinking, preparing for the wedding, and what I could say to us this morning, what the Holy Spirit would give me to say, I began to think about this particular miracle of Jesus, his very first miracle. And it performed it, you know, water to wine at the wedding in Canaan. Okay? So here it is. Let's get down to it. It is very common to serve wine and even alcohol for that matter at a wedding celebration. Even as it is today, so it was also in biblical times. And we see that from reading the text. They were at a wedding and it was just customary to have wine. Wine fermentation is the biological process where yeast, either wild or cultivated, consume the natural sugars in grape juice and convert them into ethanol, or what you and I call alcohol, and mix with carbon dioxide gas. That process transforms the juice into an alcoholic beverage, right? That's the fermentation of wine, right? Which, just a fancy way, wine is nothing more than what? Grape juice, which has been what? Fermented over time, right? And if you let it, the longer you let it ferment, the more its alcohol content rises. You with me on that? And you guys knew that. You guys are a smart church. That's so you guys knew that, right? The wine that is served or was served in today's passage was also subject to fermentation. Okay? In ancient times, however, in order to quench the thirst of those drinking it without inducing drunkenness, wine was often diluted with water, right? Because in ancient times, because of the conditions and the environment where they lived, the fermentation process occurred quickly, right? So, it would take no time for that grape juice to start fermenting. And now the alcohol content is going up and now folks are drinking it and now folks are getting drunk, right? They didn't have systems and processes in place like we do today for manufacturing and processing wine. And so they would dilute it with water. And it says, due to the climate and circumstances, even new wine fermented quickly and had an inebriating effect if it wasn't mixed, right? So it was very common. They would have the grape juice, squeeze the grapes. They got fresh grape juice, but they knew they would have to add some part, a third, a quarter of water to it to dilute it enough to slow down the fermentation process so that the people drinking it for whatever occasion and however long that occasion lasted, you know, the wine would not cause them to go into a drunken state. You follow what I'm saying? You guys with me on that? Are you guys still a smart church? All right, good. Well, hey, we good. We good. Now this is good stuff. Now watch this. While the Bible condemns drunkenness, right? We got scriptures on that. It does not necessarily condemn the consumption of wine, right? And I think this is helpful for our church because some folks have even asked me this question. It is very common to go into a Christian church and at communion, some churches will serve either grape juice or wine, right? Matter of fact, my good friend, Pastor Rogers, down the street, during their communion, they had the option. The parishioners can either choose grape juice or wine, right, and take it as a part of the communion service, right? Some churches serve grape juice and wine, right? And I want to go to one of those churches. Grape juice and wine, right? But so I'm saying that because some people ask, yo, Pastor Tyson, yeah, you can have wine. Right? They had it in the Bible times, biblical times. You can have it now, right? Now, where we got to put the pedals on is the hard stuff. All right? Please don't tell anybody. My pastor said a little gin and tonic is okay. I didn't say that. You said that. I said white, red wine, little chest, that's okay, right? The hard stuff, that now you on your own now. And no, I am not praying for you, right? They'll do that. Well, my pastor said, no, I didn't, right? So let me give you a little word on it again so you can see and know it's in your own Bible. Ephesians 5:18 says this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Right? Paul, simple statement, all he's saying, you can drink wine, but don't what? Don't get drunk. You'll get drunk because you take it in too much. You've gone into excess. You've gone over the normal limit, whatever your limit may be, because now you're going to become drunk. But he said, what I would prefer is if you're going to get drunk, be drunk in the Spirit, right? If you're going to go overboard, right, go do extra, he said, I would rather you be that way about your spiritual growth and development and not your consumption of wine. So again, he didn't say don't drink. He said drink wine. He just said what? Don't get drunk, but don't go overboard. Are you with me? So if nothing else, we all learned today that what? We can have some wine, right? And it's not a sin, or I'm going to hell. No, you're not. Just don't go overboard, right? Good. So here it is. To become inebriated or drunk, right? Both, either word, they're synonyms. They mean the same thing. And they both describe the state of having consumed too much alcohol and being affected by its intoxicating effects on both your body and your mind. Are you guys with me? I know you're a smart church. I know you know this stuff, but I just want to, so we're all on the same page. To become inebriated or drunk, right? Inebriated is just a more fancier word for what you and I commonly call drunk. They're synonyms. They both describe the state of having consumed too much alcohol, whether it be wine or the hard stuff, but it's too much. And now you are affected by its intoxicating effects on both your body and your mind. You guys with me? Raise your hand if you ever seen somebody drunk. Okay, good. So we got that. Now watch this. Here's the sermon right here. And again, I'm not preaching the miracle at Canaan. I just want to lift up something for your attention. Right? It says now, John chapter 2, verse 1, wedding in Canaan. Jesus' mother is there. She's been invited. Verse 2. Jesus and his disciples invited to the wedding, right? Obviously, they were friends of the married couple, right? They knew somebody because they were invited to the wedding. Now here it is. Now we're going to get down to it. I'm only going to preach verse 3 and 4. That's it. I'm not even going to fool with the rest. So it says now, verse 3, look at what it says. When they ran out of wine, right? The mother of Jesus. If you have your own Bible, I want you to underline mother. If you have one of the church's Bible, don't do that. If you got your own, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Right? They're all invited. They're at the wedding. It's a good time. They're getting down the road. Wine runs out. Mother sees what's happening. goes to Jesus because she believes he can do something about it, right? And she says to him, you see, you're looking at it in your text, they have no wine. You guys with me so far? Good. Now here it is. Here's my sermon right here. Everything I want to say is in verse 4. So Jesus says to her, who is the her? His mother. Listen to how Jesus spoke to his mother. Are you with me? You're still a smart church? Okay, good, good. Come on, see how smart you are. So Jesus says to her, this, his mother, he addresses her first by calling her woman. Would that play in your house with your mom? Whatever name, title that we use to communicate with our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunts, whatever, you know, mom, mommy, Nana, Mimi, my boys used to call their grandmother Mimi, you know, but it was a term of affection, endearment, right? And our mothers, grandmothers, aunts, they enjoyed it and received it in the spirit it was given, right? Now, Jesus doesn't respond to his mother with a term or a title that is one that is common to her or one that she's familiar with. He doesn't say mom or me, but he says woman, right? Something done changed, right? She raised it. Jesus, the carpenter's son, she's raised him. And now here in a public, it was one thing to call your mom, grandma, whatever, out of their name. It was a completely different thing to call them something other than their name or that term in a public place. The way I grew up, mothers and grandmothers, a backhand would come so quick. And then after they smacked you, they said, what did you call me? That's just the way we were raised. Not everyone's raised that way, but we were. Because, you don't call me that. You know, you don't call me by my, we didn't call our mothers by their first name. You know what I mean? Just the way it was. So let me get down the road. Woman, this term had the effect of distancing Jesus from his mother. It wasn't a term of endearment. It wasn't a term of affection. Right? This term had the effect of distancing Jesus from his mother and her request. Right? At a wedding, fun time, happy time. We all know each other. Now here we are in public. Jesus, we've run out of wine. And instead of using a term of endearment, he replies, woman. And I'm sure everybody in the party did what? What did he just say? Who is he talking to? That's his mother. How dare he? Now, Jesus is not a young guy at this point. He's in age, right? Late 20s, early 30s. And he says, what? So you got that. Now, let the plot thickens. Look at this. He says, what does your concern have to do with me? Right? Now, many of us are at the age now where we as children are taking care of our parents. It's the age we're in, the season of our life, right? Our mothers are older, our fathers are older. And now instead of them taking care of us, we find ourselves now what? Taking care of them, right? And in this stage and in this season, everything about our parents matters to us.
Am I right about it? It has always before, but even more so now, because now you and I are responsible for what? Making the doctor's appointment. You and I are responsible what? For taking them. You and I are responsible for making sure they're getting their right prescriptions. You and I are responsible for making sure they eat. Are you following? You and I are now responsible for the upkeep of their home. Are you with me? Am I saying anything strange, right? So at this point, more than any others, right? But throughout our life, our relationship, everything about our parents is a concern for us. If I'm right about it, say amen. But yet Jesus says, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? And Jesus was a church boy, went to the temple, and all, he's speaking out of turn to his mother. Then he says something which is almost unbelievable. But you know what he's saying? This is what he's saying. Jesus, hey, come here, babe. Hey, we went out of wine at the wedding. And Jesus says, so, what you asking me for? That's, if I would have poured it in, you know what I'm saying? The way we, that's basically what he's saying. Are you with me on that? Good, here it is. Jesus's tone was not rude, but he was abrupt. Right? And everybody at the wedding knew it. Why? Because it was open, public. Right? The thrust of Jesus's comment, get this is the sermon. I'm not going any farther than verse 4. The thrust of Jesus's comment was that he had entered into the purpose for his mission on earth, such that he had now subordinated all activities to the fulfillment of the mission for which he was born. Are you following what I'm saying? Mary, his mother, had to recognize him not so much as the son she had raised, but now as the promised Messiah and the Son of God. Did y'all get all that? That's a mouthful. I'll run it back. Somebody say rewind. Jesus's tone was not rude, but it was abrupt. It was startling. It was shocking. Why? Because he never talked to her that way. He never addressed her that way. So now you got to, whoa. One, it's not only that he did it. Now you got to investigate and find out what? Why he did it. Right? Because he wasn't raised like that. The thrust of Jesus's comment was that he had entered into the purpose for his mission on earth. And as a result, he had subordinated. You guys are a smart church, so you know what that means. That means he made lower, right, all of the requests and activities to the fulfillment of that mission. You follow what I'm saying? Something's changed. Mary didn't change. Jesus didn't change, right? But now he's entered into the mission for why he was born into this world. Are you with me? And so now, because his focus has changed, now because his mission has changed, he recognized it, but all of those that knew Jesus failed to recognize it. Right? That's why so often the people closest to Jesus had difficulty accepting his ministry. Because they all knew him as what? Little Jesus. The carpenter's son. That's who he was. For the better part of his life, that's who he was to them and to everyone else in the Jewish community. That's Joseph's boy. That the carpenter's son. Which all was true up until right now. Right? Right? Now look, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to prove it. Here it is. Woman, shocking. What does your concern have to do? Then look what he says. Here, this is the sermon. You get this. We're out of here in the next 5 minutes. Look what he says. Look at it so y'all don't think I'm making this up. Everybody, if I don't see the top of your head, I know you're not looking at it. Here it is. Look what he says. My hour has not yet come. See, that's the whole sermon right there. Anybody remember what my title is, my sermon subject? You can drink, but don't get drunk. Here it is. This is it. We're down the road now. This phrase constantly refers to Jesus' death and exaltation. Right? Death on the cross. His exaltation, or what you and I call his resurrection and ascension back on high. He was on a divine schedule. Not an earthly schedule. Things have changed. Now he's on a divine schedule, which has been decreed by God before the foundation of the world. Many of the Old Testament prophets characterize the messianic age as a time when wine would flow liberally in the kingdom of God. I don't have time for it, but Jeremiah 31, Hosea 14, the book of Amos, they all talk about it. And they use words to describe the celebration of the messianic reign would have wine just flowing during the show. Why? It's a celebration, right? So they talk about that, right? Here, Jesus is referring to the fact that the necessity of the cross, are you with me? Listen, it must come before the blessings of the millennial age. Are you with me? Now, I can tell most of you are not. So that's good. We rewind. That's going to cost you 5 more minutes, though. I had you out, but you hit rewind. This phrase, my hour has not yet come. This phrase constantly refers to Jesus' death and exaltation. And while his time has not come, his schedule has now changed. Because now, everything Jesus does has one purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? To get him to the cross. Everything, boom. From here on in, he's got his assignment from God. Jesus, God activates the plan, says, all right, Jesus, let's get started. You've been down there long enough. You've been Mary's son. You've been Joseph's long enough. But now, I need you to start working on what I sent you there to do. Right? So now, as I said, now he's on a divine schedule. Not an earthly, not a human schedule, not a sun schedule, right? And now because what this schedule is driving him to is to Calvary's cross, right? Are you with me? So now he's on this schedule. He's got to go there, right? Right? And Jesus is referring to the fact when he says, my hour is not come, while it's not time for me to be nailed to the cross yet, I am now on a new schedule. My son was coming home from New York a couple of weeks ago, and he called me and he said, Dad, he had texted me early in the week, his train schedule coming in on Amtrak. But now he had texted me because there was a what? A new arrival time. He was on a new schedule. He said, Dad, don't pick me up at that time. Come get me at this time. Why? Because now I'm on a new schedule. And I got a new arrival time, right? Jesus is saying, what you got to understand about me, Mary, I know you're my mother. You love me and I love you. But now I got a new assignment. And along with that new assignment, I've got a new schedule. Not given to me by my earthly father, but now given to me by my heavenly father. And I don't have a lot of time. This is what Jesus said. I must be about my father's. I wish I had a real church. My real church would have said, all right, Pastor, we're starting to get it. We're a little groggy this morning. But he said, now I must be about my father's business. And my father's business does not involve making wine for you and your guests. Watch this. Because all you're going to do is drink until, I wish I had a real church. They're going to drink until you get drunk. What does that have to do with me? Are you starting to get it? Rob, you getting it? Rob's at Drexel, those smart guys. I know Rob will get the message. So that's what he's saying. So look, help me. Here we go. Help me preach it. This is where your part's in the sermon. Look at somebody and just tell them this. Don't miss your hour. Yeah, don't miss your hour. Don't miss your season, right? Tell them that. Help me preach that. Come on, Bryce. Don't miss your season. Right? Don't miss your moment. Because I tell you this, see, I've lived long enough to realize that your moment, your season, your hour only comes once in a while. And if you miss it, there's a high probability you may never get that chance again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So help me preach. Look at somebody and say, don't miss your hour. Jesus was determined to not miss his hour. He was determined to remain focused, to remain on schedule, because the cross was his destination. The cross was his purpose. For coming into the earth, somebody in the church shout yes. Here it is. Here's the sermon right here. Jesus was implying, if I drink wine now, here's the sermon. If I drink wine now and I get inebriated or drunk, it may have an adverse effect on me completing my mission for my father. Why am I working so hard? See, I got a wedding to perform this afternoon. Jesus was implying that if I drink new wine now, I run the risk of becoming drunk. Rob, if I get drunk now, it's going to affect the schedule that my father has given me to get to the cross. Why? Because when you become drunk, it affects your mind and your body. Right? Look at somebody and tell them, you can drink. Just don't get drunk. Are you following? And look, if you can't handle your liquor, don't drink at all. Drink water, grape juice, or Kool-Aid, right? Look at somebody and say, Pastor Ford's preaching now. Here it is. Jesus was saying, get this, there will be a time for celebration and wine. But it's not at this wedding. Look at somebody and say, it's not this wedding. There will be a time for wine and celebration. Get this. But it will be at the next wedding. Are you with me? Here it is. I'm going to give it to you because I thought you were a smart church. Now I'm reconsidering my assessment. But here it is. How many of you know a good teacher always gives you the answer? Here's the answer. Watch this. The witness gave it to us. Revelations 19 and 7. Listen to it. He says, let us be glad and rejoice and give God the glory. Here it is. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Look at somebody and just tell them, not this wedding, not this moment, but there is a wedding that is coming, planned and hosted by God up in heaven. It is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when we will drink new wine. Woo! Look at somebody and tell them it's time to get drunk. Yes, I made it to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And now it's time to get drunk. Now it's time to drink new. Yes. 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 Let's get the party started. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I gotta make it to the real wedding. I gotta make it to the real marriage. So my message to my church this morning, it's okay to drink, but whatever you do, don't get drunk, whereby you might forfeit or miss your moment, your hour, your season to do whatever God called you to do. Because when he died to save you from your sins. But when he rose again, Jesus gave every believer an assignment. He gave them a purpose. He said, go ye therefore into all the world, preaching and teaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost.
It's time for you to get busy. It's time for you to get on. Let me have it, fellas. Look at somebody and tell them, don't you miss your hour. Because you were drunk. Don't miss your hour. Because you were drunk with success. Don't miss your hour. Because you were drunk with family concerns. Jesus says this in his ministry. He says these words. Jesus says, who is my mother? Jesus said that while preaching to a house full of people. His disciples came and said, Your mom, they're all at the front gate. Should we make a way? They're outside. Should we go get them in? Jesus restrained him. Said, no, don't go get them. He looked out at his church and he said this. He said, who is my mother? Jesus said that. He said, who is my brother? Who are my real sisters? He said, you are. He wasn't pointing to his mother. He wasn't pointing to his family. He said, I'm on a new schedule. And my father has given me a new family. And I hate to say it, but so many people are going to miss Christ because they became drunk with family matters. Jesus checked his mother and put her in her place. Said, it doesn't matter who you are to me. The only thing that matters to me is to do the will of him who sent me. So don't get drunk with family matters. Your family can't save you. Nor do they have a heaven to put you in. But they can send you to hell. Right? Let the church say it. Don't get drunk with success. Don't get drunk trying to do and be everything. You throw your family aside. You throw your spiritual life aside. And it's all about reaching the next ring of success in life. Anytime you see that, you see someone who is drunk with success. Don't let it be you. It's not just limited to wine. Not just limited to alcohol. Don't be drunk with sex. So many people are just bent on sex. You know what we used to say I know the young boys don't do it down. You know what we used to say when we were kids and we rocked the shell top Adidas. Anybody remember the shell top Adidas? This is what we said 40 years ago. Adidas. All day long, I dream about sex. That's what we said. All of us. Right? You follow me? And so many people today, and listen to me, it's worse now compared to what it was then. You follow what I'm saying? I always like, oh, they're not ready to talk about sex yet. I got to wait till they're 16 and 17. Then I turn on the news and they're having babies at 13, right? And my timing is off.
You follow what I'm saying? Why? Because they're on a what? A new schedule. They're not waiting anymore. Now it's like let the good. And at a young age, they're becoming drunk with sex. It's affecting their mind. It's affecting their bodies. And they are unable to fulfill God's will for their life. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says this, that the spirit of disillusion comes and he allows them to believe a lie. When we were young and we were trying to get with the girls, and like all the fellas, we lied to them. But you know what was different about the sisters then? They at least knew we were lying. Now, to their charge, they did it anyway, but they knew we were lying. The young sisters today, they literally believe that he loves them. You don't understand. They're telling me this in the office. See, no. It's different with him, Pastor. He loves. All right, I went to the wrong one. Sorry, Jay. Pastor, they... But do you guys understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, you can just go down the list. And the people today are drunk cunts. They went overboard with it. And now they are consumed by it. Hear the preached word of going out every Sunday. And God is trying to call them into his will and purpose for their life. And they sit right here. But the truth they ignore. And the lie they believe. And they find themselves on a different schedule. And we're going through it. You with me on Wednesday night. You guys should all be in there in Ephesians. What did he call him? The prince of the air. And God of this world. And our people are going after him. Young, old, black, white, boy, girl. They're just going after him. Because they're unable to hear the gospel message. The enemy has cursed them with a spirit of delusion. One thing we can say about Jesus, he knew who he was. Whether you liked him, didn't like him, whether you came to his sermons, it didn't matter. Jesus knew exactly who he was. To the point where he had to check his mother. It's okay, Mom. Things are different now. Now I'm responding to the will of my heavenly Father. And that's more important. I still love you. I'm still going to do for you. But I can't allow my love for you to interfere with my will in God. And that's my message to my church. Don't allow anything to so consume your attention, your affection, or your focus that you become drunk in it. And you miss your hour for why Christ died for you. Woe be unto you. That's the word of God for you. Woe be unto you. And this, look, Jesus already sees it coming. This is what Jesus said. He said, at that day, the day before the marriage feast, this is what he said. He said, many will come trying to get into the marriage. Many will come. And they're going to say, oh, Jesus, I did this in your name. And I did that. And I did the other. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus is going to look them straight in their face. He's going to say, I know you not. He's going to tell the angels, bind them. Cast them out to the lake of fire. I want you to get this. He never denies what they said they did. If you read that account, he never says, no, you didn't. Jesus, I did this. He never says, no, you didn't do that. He never denied it. Let him have the floor. Say what you want. Oh, I did this in his name, and I did that in his name. He said, have the floor. You can say what. He never denies it. You know why? They didn't do it on the schedule God gave them. So when they felt like it, after they partied all their life, the good years of their life away, then they decided to. And all I'm trying to tell you as your pastor, if you adopt that strategy, good man. You may miss your hour. Doesn't come by all the time. You can't be so cool. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to start going to church next year. Once I get married and we start having kids, Pastor, you're going to see me too much. Well, okay. But by that point, it may be not my schedule you got to be on. You've got to be on God's schedule. I'm finished. Stand up. You know how it goes. When you stand up, I stop. Y'all keep singing. I'm just going to keep going. I just keep going. This is what he said. God says, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. But as believers in God, we have to step into the plan of God when God calls us to come. Here it is. I'm finished on this, Bruce. Listen. This is the word of God. This is what he said. He said, my sheep know my voice. Of all the voices that I'll never forget, that I always remember, always hear it, no matter when it comes. I always know my Father's voice. We can be playing football way down the block. If my mother calls me, guess what I'll do? I'll keep playing. But if my father were to come out the house and call my name, kid, I stop mid-stride. Because there's something about a father's voice that when a real son hears it. When my dad would call me, I would stop. Guess what all the other kids would do? They keep on going. Because my father's voice to them had what? No effect. He's not my dad. That's your dad. They kept right on going. But for me, it stopped me in my tracks. Wait a minute, I hear my father's voice. My dad is calling me home. Just like that, I stop. Boom. Guys, I'm out. I got to go. Because I know if I don't obey my father, my dad's going to give me a whipping. What's the worst whipping anyone could ever have? Anybody know what it is? Huh? Not only from your father. What's the worst whipping anybody can ever have? Here it is. Watch this. All right. There are some people here with child welfare, so don't go to some things are better left. Here it is. The worst whipping any child, boy or girl, could ever get was in front of your the embarrassment hurt more than whatever you whipped them with. For them to stand and be a witness. Pants down. Shorts down. Because what, all summer long, what? You're never outliving. They're going to keep bringing it up. So we hear our Father's voice. Here's the question today. Do you hear your Father's voice? And I'm not talking about your earthly father. This is what Jesus said, and I'll close on this. He said, the day you hear my voice, this is in your Bible. I'm not making this up, Bruce. In your Bible, Jesus said, the day, the moment, watch this, the hour you hear my voice, he said, harden not your heart. Why? He said, that's your hour. That's the moment I'm giving you in your life. Now, if you, Jesus said, if you repent now, that the Father received. I can't promise when you get in your 40s. I don't know if you'll make it to your 50s. But if you respond now, he said, harden not your heart. The day you hear my voice. Why? Because your hour's come. Your moment, your season for loving and serving God is at hand. That's why I titled this sermon, see, it's okay to drink. Just don't get drunk. Don't get so consumed with this life that you miss your hour, your opportunity, or your chance in the next life. Because I read you the witness out of Revelation. There is another wedding coming. It's written, it's plain. The marriage, that's the wedding I want to go to. That's the wedding I want to get drunk at. Because if I get drunk there, I know what? I know I made it to heaven. I know I'm in the presence of God. I know that my dying was not in vain. It's another wedding coming. I know we've down a lot of folks, and a lot of folks are getting ready for the wedding this afternoon. But that's not the big wedding. That's not the important wedding. There's a greater wedding coming. And the message to the awaiting church: can you hear your Father's voice? I believe I was given this message to preach in this house. Let me have it. Let me have it, Kay. Because I believe God is trying to reach somebody. Let me tell you something that I've encountered or learned over the years. Couple things. One, God doesn't speak often. Watch out for people who every week they told me, you say, you know what God told me? God does not speak often. That's been my experience. Maybe he does speak to you all the time. Most times I got to ring him multiple times just to get his. God doesn't speak often. And when he does speak, he says very, very little. Doesn't say much. He doesn't speak often. When he speaks, he doesn't say a lot. And this is what he told the prophet in the cave. He said, when he does speak, this is what his voice sounds like. He said, it sounds like a still, small voice. That's what the word of God says. The man of God was waiting for the voice of God. He was waiting. He was just at the mouth of, and all types of hell was earthquake, wind, and he said, oh, God's got to be in that. Look how powerful. Look how strong. Look how voiced. God must be in that tornado.
The Bible said God said he wasn't in it. But way by and by, the Bible said along came a still, small voice. That's how God speaks. God speaks in the quietness of your life. Not in all the noise. Not in all the confusion. I'm telling you, he's not in that. But it's when you quiet yourself down. TV off, phone off, laptop closed. It's just you, your Bible, and God. It is in moments like that that God speaks. Now, I'm not aware of your details, but I will say this. When he speaks, he most certainly is calling you so that you don't miss your hour. Don't miss it. Because you don't. Jesus tells a parable. He tells men to follow him. And they come and one said to him, Jesus, I can't come right now. He says, I got to go bury my parents. Jesus keeps on going. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Jesus said, I'm about life. And life, that's what you're going to trade? Any excuse you can offer. Look, I'm finished with it. I hear the Holy Ghost calling. Here it is. I preach this message because I believe God is calling someone. So if you're here this Sunday morning and you've heard this message preached and it has somehow or some way impacted your heart and you sense that God is calling you. And by this word, you're saying, you know what? Pastor, I don't want to miss my hour. Pastor, I don't want to be so overly concerned with all this other stuff that I miss the main thing. Today you hear my voice. Harden not your heart. So if you're here this Sunday, and you believe God is calling you, I'm going to give you this moment, the space and time. I want you to come forward, and I just want to pray with you. I just want to come in agreement that, yes, God is calling you. This is your moment. This is your hour. Whoever you may be, wherever you may be in the sanctuary, if you're watching us online, you're streaming in, by faith, extend your hand to me to pass that sense. God is calling me. Been running, been doing this, been doing that. And Pastor, I even hate to admit it, but I have become drunk with other things. And I thank God for the message this Sunday. Because more than anything else, Rat, I don't want to miss my hour. I don't want to miss doing or becoming what God has called and created me to do. Will you come? This message is your sermon. This message has gotten to you and got down in the creeks and the crevices of your heart. And you sense that God's calling me. I know the organ's playing. I know the pastor, but I hear something. Could it be God calling me to himself? The altar is open. Whoever you may be, come and receive Christ. Mighty man of God. What a wonder to be called at a young age. What a joy. I don't waste my life. I don't waste my strength. But at a young age, I hear, good God, help me. I hear God calling me. And Bryce, I hear him too. I hear God calling you. Calling you to himself. Not to another group, not to a gang, not to a school, not to an affiliation. God is calling you. Today, give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Lord, I receive you. Just tell them, say, Brian, Lord, I receive you. Lord, I receive. Lord, I hear your voice. Hallelujah. And another I will not follow. Today, in my teenage years, I give my life to Christ. I hear his voice. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jesus' name. Daughter of Eve, offspring of Sarah, God says you're a holy woman of God. That's what you are. It's what you are to him. In spite of what others have said, in spite of what others have done, God says you're holy and acceptable unto God. Receive. Hear God's voice. And follow him. Give your life to Christ. I sense something in you towards God already. He's just calling you in deeper. He's calling you to go further. He's calling to get you on schedule for what God is going to do in your life. Just lift your hands up. Father in heaven, I thank you for her. Thank you that her life is hid in Christ, in God. God, cause your voice to be recognized. Cause your voice to be heard in her life, down in the cellar of her soul. Call her away from this world and into the world that you have for those that accept your Son. Bless her and keep her. Bring her into the center of your will. In Jesus' name, mighty woman of God. Here am I, Lord. Here's my life. I'm an open book before you. The Lord says, receive. Receive. He said, a broken spirit, a contrite heart, said he would no wise forsake. Yes. It's okay to be broken in the hand of God. He alone is the potter who can make together again something new, something more beautiful than the first time around. That's what God's going to do. God's going to pick up the broken pieces. It's going to put your life back together again. Receive. Receive. Receive ye. That's the hand of the Lord on your life. That's what that is. The name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, mighty man of valor. He's calling you. He's calling you to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. You know the things of God. You know the person of God. At this stage in your life, see, he wants to fill you with the Spirit of God. So many things you do in your own strength and in your own power, because God has gifted you to do such. But in this season, this hour, he wants you to know him. And he wants to show you what God can do. You already know what you can do. We already know what Kappa can do, but what can God do? That's what he's going to show you. This is your hour. This is your moment, see. Receive ye. My God, in the name of Jesus, feel the anointing of God all over you. Mighty man of God, what wonderful things God has in store for you. Receive ye the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Feel the anointing of God all over you. I feel the anointing of God all over your life. Making godly decisions. Making choices. Decisions. Moves. Hallelujah to God. God said, if you honor me, God said, I'm going to honor you. God told me to tell you, if you bless me, God said, I'll bless you back. Said it'll come pressed down. It'll come shaken together, Courtland, and running over. Mighty man of God. Mighty man of valor. What a joy and a privilege to know God at a young age. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That which you have been taught. That's what he told me to tell you. That which you've already been taught. And I don't mean in the university. I don't mean in the school books and management programs. So I'm talking about what you've been taught by your mother and by your grandmother, who laid the foundation of God in your heart. Rob, all I do is add to it. I don't build a new foundation. I don't do anything different. I just add to what has already been laid. God says, trust the sure foundation. Trust it. All of your hopes, all of your dreams. Told me to tell you, God said, I'm going to bring it to pass. Serving in the church, you won't lose anything. You won't miss out on anything. Don't let the devil trick you. Oh, man, if you keep going to church, you miss it, man. We're getting together. It's game day. No. Here, see? That's it. That's the short foundation. I know it's in there, Rob. I know it. Now you got to trust it. Now you got to trust God. While you have strength, give your life wholly unto him. Don't hold back. Give it all to God. God has already told me. God's going to bless you. He's already shown me. Mighty man of God. Name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Father in heaven, remember him. Strengthen his arms, hands, that it might not be weak. Strengthen his legs and his ankles and his feet, that he might run even more now after you. God, use him for your glory, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Anoint him to be a sower of seed into the lives of young men everywhere. Amplify his gifts. Add an echo to his voice, the season of his life. And as you bless him, cause him to be a blessing to so many more. Let it come pressed down. Let it come shaken together. Let it overflow into his life, to the life of his family, and to the life of his ministry. in Jesus' name. I don't want to miss my moment, church. And I believe today, if you came by faith, even for those that didn't come, whatever held you back, whatever prevented you from coming forward, I'm praying for you in the days and weeks ahead that that stumbling block, whatever it is, that God will move it out of the way. Why? So that you can hear your Father calling you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much. You have done more with half a sermon than I've ever seen done before. And I thank you for calling us in time so that we don't miss our hour. So we don't miss our season, our moment in God. But every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, simply respond to today's message by saying, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm available. I'm no longer drunk, but I'm of sound mind. And I hear you calling me. Today I respond. Today I give my life to Christ. Today I follow my Father's voice. And all the people of God said amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. As you go to your seat, just give God a hand clap of praise. Let's thank God for the word of truth, the gospel that has found our hearts.
That's the drum roll for what? Offering time. Amen. 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 So it's kind of working now. Yeah, they can kind of hear me now, right? Through the mic. Amen. Amen. So it's offering time. I'm going to bring up our sister Kennedy. Amen. Amen. With a smile on her face. A smile on her face. A smile on her face.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving, through our website, Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at taylor-tabernacle-6309. Zelle at 215-287-6968. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for the tithe/offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App $ Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Amen. She's walking away with the iPad, which has the announcements on it. Amen. So now that we've had a Kennedy, let's have a Cassandra. Amen.
I don't know where it is.
Good morning, church. So sorry. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us and worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. Choir practice for all ages starting 2nd through 5th Sunday after service in September. Please see Sister Alex for questions. Yep. So we have choir practice this Sunday after service. Pastor Ford is asking all family members and friends to join him online via Google Meets every Wednesday evening this month as we study Ephesians chapter 2. The 2nd through the 22nd, Pastor Ford is asking all members to join. I believe tomorrow is the last day for our fast. We are praying for our children as they return to school. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in prayer in person for corporate prayer, followed by our morning worship at 10. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing all the children on this through the 2nd to the 5th Sundays. Also, please remember our Pastor Ford's YLE challenge. YLE Primary Sunday School, attention parents. Of students in 1st through 4th grade, YLE Primary Sunday School is now moving to in-person meetings. Following Sunday school schedule, we will meet on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Sundays at the Tabernacle from 10:45 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. Our first meeting will be on October 12th. What will happen during primary school Sunday? Lots. We read God's words, memorize scriptures, and learn about God by looking at his creation. Please see Sister Zakiya Price for more details. Angel Tree 2025. There are 109 days until Christmas. Now is the perfect time to begin planning to participate in this year's Prison Fellowship Angel Tree Christmas. Please consider purchasing a gift for a child between the ages of 0 to 18 years or volunteering with the Angel Tree Committee on donating gifts, wrap and bags. Additional details will be provided in October. Our October announcements, Pastor Ford is asking all members and family and friends to join online via Google Meets every Wednesday evening this month as we study Ephesians. October 5th at 8:30 a.m. in-person congregational prayer, 10 a.m. communion. The 17th Men's Fellowship meeting at 7 p.m., third floor for the church. Pastor Ford is asking all men, young, and teenagers to attend. Dinner will be provided. October 19th, please join Pastor Ford at Open Doors Baptist Church for their 76th church anniversary. The service begins at 11 a.m., and the anniversary luncheon will be served at 12:30. The address is 1632 North 26th Street, Philadelphia, PA. Pastor Ford is asking all members to attend. There will be no service at Taylor Tabernacle that Sunday. October 26th, our very own Landon DeSources will be christened during our morning service. Come and celebrate this wonderful occasion. And we will have the pastor for the benediction.
And have lunch together, have time to fellowship before you guys jump on the road. Thank you for coming. And I'm also inviting all of the young men to join us upstairs as well. This lunch is my thank you to you. So many of you have been doing a great job in helping us around the church. Your service and your support is so much appreciated by me as your pastor and definitely does not go unnoticed. Thank you for traveling with me. Thank you all the church for going with us last Sunday over the gospel light. Appreciate your kindness too. Amen. So if we're all good and everybody's in good shape, thank you for your faithfulness to me coming out today. I know we're light because of the wedding that's taking place, but thank God we're blessed. Blessed because why? We found out it's our hour, right? Father in heaven, we thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Glad because we received a word from God, the very purpose for which we have come. Thank you for a word that burns in our hearts. Father, I pray that it would go with them the days and weeks and months ahead. Let them be reminded. And let them say, did our hearts not burn? The man of God spoke to us by the wayside. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for the house of God. Thank you for the word of God. And above all, thank you for faith in Christ Jesus, by which we are saved from sin. God, go with us, stand by us, strengthen us, and keep us. Cause us to be bright lights shining out in this darkened world. To you we give all the glory. To you we give all the honor. To you we give all the praise. Let all the people of God shout amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor.